Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. In the shadow of Soviet maneuvers across the border, Poland's independent labor leaders are staging another first today. Doug Sefton reports from Gdansk.
The First National Congress of the Independent Solidarity Labor Union opened today in a defiant mood. Close to 900 delegates, each of them representing 10,000 workers, gathered for the opening session in a sports arena festooned with huge banners proclaiming the workers' struggle for democracy. It's not quite certain how the message will be gotten to the Polish people, since the wrangle between the union and the government remained unresolved as the Congress began. As a result, Solidarity banned representatives of all government newspapers and broadcast services from the assembly. Soviet military maneuvers close to Polish borders and media attacks on the union coming from Russia and other East Bloc nations seem not to have intimidated Solidarity delegates, but made them angry. If anything, it has made the job of union leader Lech Wałęsa more difficult. This first series of meetings is designed to reform the internal structure of the union with the view of curbing some of the more extreme elements whose independent actions are thought to work against the common goal. Doug Sefton, CBS News, Gdansk.
The Soviet war games across Poland's eastern border are in their second day. Film clips shown on Moscow television last evening show the Soviets have massed their most modern weapons for what is a regular fall event, but also is taken as a warning to Polish activists. After Moscow talks, two U.S. senators, Democrat Alan Cranston of California and Charles Mathias of Maryland, today reported they have found no cause for optimism about the future of U.S.-Soviet arms limitation talks. Gordon Joselov has more.
The senators, both members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, held 25 hours of meetings with Soviet officials during their week-long visit. The highlight was a two-hour session yesterday with Foreign Minister Gromyko. At a news conference, they declined to go into details of their talks, saying they had to report to Washington first. They did indicate, however, that aside from seeing eye to eye on the need to avert nuclear war, they had agreed on little else. Mathias said he was surprised by the width of the gap of understanding between the two superpowers, especially by Moscow's misperception of the impact the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan had on the West. They said they detected no flexibility on the Soviet-Afghan position. They said that during their conversations, they warned that Soviet military intervention in Poland would bring even a greater reaction from the West. Gordon Joselov, CBS News, Moscow.
According to the Navy in San Francisco, that four-ship Soviet task force is now pulling away from the California coast after approaching to within 200 miles of the U.S. coastline, the closest in a decade. Still another bomb blast has hit a government office in Iran's capital city of Tehran. Dan Raviv has details from our London listening post.
Ayatollah Ali Qaddousi was killed by a bomb explosion this morning in his office in central Tehran. Qaddousi, who was in his 50s, was the revolutionary prosecutor general and was responsible for bringing hundreds of dissidents to trial and then before firing squads. Tehran Radio said three other people were injured. A well-placed source in Tehran said that some others had been killed and that other senior officials in the Iranian judicial system may have been in that room when the bomb went off. Coming just 6 days after the bombing that killed the prime minister and the president, today's explosion proves again that anti-government guerrillas are able to penetrate tight security. Tehran Radio announced today that another victim of Sunday's blast has died, Iran's police chief. The official broadcast also said there was a shootout between guerrillas in a taxi and Revolutionary Guards in front of the parliament building. Sources in Tehran say at least one guerrilla fighter was wounded and others captured while trying to attack the building, which is closed for the summer recess. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
In Egypt, President Sadat today is in the midst of a widespread crackdown on critics. Richard Wagner has a report.
More than 1,000 people are now in custody as President Anwar Sadat's unprecedented crackdown against his religious and political opposition continues. Those arrested include Muslim and Christian religious leaders, politicians, journalists, and lawyers. Later today, President Sadat is to make his highly publicized address to the nation. In it, he's expected to detail evidence of a conspiracy to spread sectarian strife throughout Egypt by extremists acting under the guise of promoting religious thought. The government-controlled press says in morning editions today that President Sadat will propose 12 measures to put an end to what the papers term sectarian sedition. The speech is being billed as no less than, quote, a new stage of national action amounting to a new revolution, the September 5th revolution, end quote. Concerning yesterday's demonstrations by a few thousand Islamic fundamentalists against the jailing of Muslim religious leaders, the papers virtually ignored the incidents, saying some people were arrested when they failed to comply with police orders to disperse. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Cairo.
Israeli state radio reports today that a police explosive expert safely defused a bomb found near the prestigious Rockefeller Museum outside the walls of Jerusalem's Old City. CBS News correspondent Larry Pintak in Beirut reports that leaders from across Lebanon's political spectrum have joined in condemning the assassination yesterday of the French ambassador to Lebanon. The Palestine Liberation Chief Yasser Arafat cabled French President Mitterrand, saying the murder was an attempt to undermine France's efforts to achieve peace and justice in Lebanon. In Northern Ireland, another murder overnight. Gunmen invaded an apartment in South Belfast and killed one British soldier and wounded another. At the White House, this is the calm before the budget storm. Jed Duval reports.
For President Reagan, this is to be a quiet weekend in the residential part of the White House. 2 days with the books and the numbers, the federal budget. The Defense Department has sent over a list of items that could be cut from its budget in coming years. Aides have said the president is willing to reduce by as much as $30 billion present commitments to increase military spending in fiscal years 1983 and 4. Indications are that there is to be no drastic slash in the most favored federal department in this administration, but merely delaying some appropriations for defense. Other departments are bracing for still more Reagan cuts, reductions to come sooner in fiscal 1982, the year that starts October 1st. The president is said to be committed still to holding the deficit for the coming year to $42 billion, despite increasing indications that it will be difficult to hold back the red ink. So more cuts are due, with presidential decisions on them due next week. Jed Duval, CBS News, the White House.
According to White House officials, the president will make his defense budget cut decision after a Tuesday meeting with Defense Secretary Weinberger and Budget Director Stockman. And after Stockman has determined what other cuts will be necessary in the budget balancing effort, other departments will get their orders at a cabinet meeting next Friday or the following Monday. How much food is enough is a question to be debated in coming days in the wake of the Agriculture Department's move to cut back on school lunches. Bill Lynch has more.
For the next 30 days, consumer activists, parent groups, and school food service administrators will be sending the Agriculture Department their comments on the proposed reduction in meal size. The department says by serving smaller portions in the lunchroom, it can save about 9 cents a meal, at least $350 million a year. Assistant Secretary Mary Jarrett insisted yesterday that reduced quantity would not threaten nutritional value, but critics disagree. The Food Research Action Council claimed that under the proposal, the midday meal would become a snack that deprives youngsters of the energy they need to do well in school. One public interest nutritionist said the new minimum requirement would be fulfilled by a 1.5-ounce hamburger served on a single piece of bread with 6 French fries, 9 grapes, and a 6-ounce cup of milk. Agriculture officials did not dispute that, but said most school systems would provide more than the minimum amount of food. Because of Reagan budget cuts, students this year will also pay more for their lunch tray, in some cases more than $4 extra per week. Bill Lynch, CBS News, Washington.
Poorer students will continue to receive their lunches free. After an examination of Saturn's most distant moon, the camera aboard Voyager 1 was turned off early today, not to be used for 4 years, until Voyager nears its next target, the planet Uranus. Scientists say the pictures sent back of the Saturn moon called Phoebe appear to confirm theories that Phoebe is actually a comet ensnared by the strong gravitational pull of the big planet. Hurricane Emily remains well out to sea northeast of Bermuda today, no threat to the U.S. mainland. The storm had been kicking up some rough seas along the northeast Atlantic coast, but forecasters say they should begin to decrease today. Forecasters are also watching a tropical storm named Floyd, now moving into the open sea north of the Virgin Islands. They say that Emily to the north may be inhibiting its development.